So we're getting ready for Holy Week. Holy, what would you do this week? What's on your calendar? What's your plans for this week? I know if I talk to Debbie, she's got a laundry list going on. And Mike's got the same laundry list as they get ready because they only have 2 weeks. What's on your agenda? How will you prepare? You know, we have to prepare for Easter. We got to get ready. Otherwise, I'm telling you, what's going to happen is you're going to come in here and you will have an experience and it will be amazing, but it'll only be the one day, and I don't want you to have only one day. This is Holy Week. A lot of things are happening this week. A lot of things have already happened. Jesus has already raised Lazarus from the grave. That caused a big stir, let me tell you. All the people saw what he did. And especially the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the teachers, they all watched what he did. And some of them were not pleased. But most of them were just simply amazed. They've never seen anything like it. This week, we will celebrate when Jesus sits down, as we have communion each week, we'll celebrate as Jesus sits down with his disciples for the last time. But in the book, in the Gospel of John, we get all the backstory. We get all the conversations. In the Gospel of John, we get him walking with them to the garden and having conversations about a fig tree and about how a fig tree is never going to bloom again and telling them the secret of why. In the Gospel of John, we get the mighty priestly prayer, which is the most powerful prayer ever, when Jesus says, "Dear Father God, may they be one," meaning that everyone that hears his word, hears about him, everyone that believes in him, may they be one in me as I am one in you. May they be one in one. Do you understand what is happening when he prays that prayer? He is joining together every believer, past, present, and future. That's why I tell people now, every time I hear about death, every time I hear of a death or somebody who's connected to Jesus, that they're not gone. They're sitting right here. They're as close as your heartbeat, even closer. Because Jesus is in you and Jesus is in them. They are not gone. They are as close as ever. So I'll send out texts, messages of different verses, but I want you to walk through with Jesus and the disciples. So this week you are the disciples. You are walking with him. You are sitting down at the Last Supper with him. I want you to literally become Thomas, become Peter, even become Judas. That will be a difficult thing to do. As Jesus dips his hand in the bread and wine and hands it to him. I want you to become the Pharisees and the Sadducees who are getting all upset about this. They don't like that Lazarus was raised from the dead because all the acclaim is going to somebody else. All the power is going to someone else. Their apple cart is being turned upside down and inside out, and they are not happy campers. I want you to walk as one of the disciples, and I have to think that they're pretty bewildered about what is going on. They do not understand. I want you to be some of the people, this crowd we're going to talk about today, who are shouting out, "Hosanna!" Meaning, save us. Hosanna means save us. It is actually a plea. It's begging. Please save us. And in many ways, they're talking about the Roman oppression that, oppression that is coming down on them. I think of all the oppression that we have in this world today. I think about what's going on in Israel and Palestine today. I think about what's going on in Russia and Ukraine today. I think about all the conflict we have between classes and races and genders and all these things that we have, all these conflicts. Is that so much different, isn't it? I think all the power struggles we have today is not so much different. So as we walk through Holy Week, we're going to walk through the Gospel of John. And I'm telling you, the Gospel of John is different. The Gospel of John is at this other level. It begins with "in the beginning," which is talking about the very beginning of time itself. If you really want an exercise, read the entire Gospel of John this week. Woo, that'll be an eye-opener. Today we're going to go to the Gospel of John, chapter 12, verse 12. Oh, I put up here a little teaser, bring the teaser back. If only. If only, dot, dot, dot. And whenever you see the dot, 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 that means something else is coming on, right? It's something to think about. It's just the beginning of the story. I want you to fill in the dot, dot, dot right now. If you could have anything right now for this entire world, any wish, and I mean, most people say, well, I would wish for world peace. That's usually the canned answer, right? And that's a great answer. I would love to see peace among all these nations I just got done mentioning. But I don't think that's big enough. If only the world, and I want you to just sit with that for a minute. We'll get back to it. Verse 12. The next day, the great crowd that had come for the festival heard that Jesus was on his way to Jerusalem. And what I wrote in here is that his reputation preceded him. They were all waiting for Jesus, and especially after Lazarus was raised from the dead, everybody wanted to see this guy. Who is this Jesus? Maybe I can touch the hem of his garment. I heard about that story too, where somebody was healed just by touching the hem of his garment. Who is this Jesus? And this festival, they're here for the Passover festival. Another miracle when God took everybody out of Egypt. And so they're coming from all over, and they're coming into Jerusalem. They're swarming in, but they've heard about this Jesus. And mind you, the Sadducees and the Pharisees are well aware of Jesus, and they've heard of him too. Continuing. They took palm branches. We have palm branches all over the altar, thanks to Mary. We have palm branches right now back with our young people, thanks to Laura. They took palm branches and went out to meet him, shouting, "Hosanna! Blessed is he who comes in the name of the Lord." Remember, we're walking through Holy Week this week. We're going to take palm branches this week. This is how it begins. It begins with this celebration. If only, I wonder sometimes, what if we could just stop here? What if it's just a celebration of Jesus and everybody embraces him? If only. They're shouting out, "Hosanna, save us." You know, it's one of those cases where they're saying more than they even understand that they're saying. They're saying, "Save us from all this oppression. Save us from all this power." Sounds familiar? Save us from all these circumstances. Save me, I can't pay my rent. Save me, I got cancer. Save me, save me, save me. And Jesus is going to save them of all of those things and more. Hosanna. is actually begging, pleading on your knees, save me. So if you can picture it, all these people raving, these palm branches, literally saying, save me, Jesus. You raised Lazarus from the dead. You have the power of life and death. Save me. And it's personal. Not save us. See, that's part of where they got it wrong. It wasn't just about the nation of Israel. It was save me. It's personal. Continuing. Jesus found a young donkey and sat on it as it is written. Continuing. Do not be afraid, daughter Zion. See, your king is coming seated on a donkey's colt. Just like he had a humble beginning in that manger, just like the King of Kings comes in on a donkey. Not with a bunch of fanfare, you know, we often see like these weddings and stuff in England, and everybody gets all, you know, gonna check it out and gonna see what they're wearing and see the procession and you know, all this pomp and circumstance, none of that. Instead, he comes in on a donkey. But what are they doing? They're waving the palm branches, screaming out Hosanna, because they know that this is a person of power. Continuing. At first, now remember, you're going to be the disciples this whole week. So this is you, remember. At first, his disciples did not understand all that. So you're not going to get it. Do we ever? At first, his disciples did not understand all this. Only after Jesus was glorified did they realize that these things had been written about him and that these things had been done to him. In retrospect, I think life is in retrospect. I think hindsight is 20/20, isn't it? If only we knew then what we know now when we're making that decision. I don't know if you've ever played this game, I know I have, that you insert the information that you had from before into today and then kind of beat yourself up that you didn't make a better decision because you're kind of thinking that, well, I knew all this anyways, but I really didn't know it. Did anybody else do that? I do it all the time. I'm trying not to anymore. But that's what the disciples, they didn't get it. And not just the disciples, the whole crowd didn't get it. The Pharisees, the Sadducees, nobody got it. Nobody got what was going on here. And especially his disciples. You know, there's a part where it says that Jesus takes them earlier and he looks over at Jerusalem and he tells them, you know, they're going to crucify me. And you know what his disciples do? I was in college and I used this. And the disciples sit there and start saying, hey, Jesus, you know, we've been thinking about this kingdom thing, okay? And we're wondering something. Now, mind you, Jesus, their best friend, their leader, has just told them that he's going to go to Jerusalem and they're going to crucify him. And so this is what their reply is. Hey, we've been thinking about this thing, and we're thinking about when you get this kingdom, hey, I'd like to sit on your right hand, and Peter over here, he wants to sit on your left. Man, they're out to lunch. Your best friend has just said that they're going to kill you. And they're going to kill him. And they're vying for position. They didn't get it. They only got it after Easter. Huh. They only understood after Easter. They only saw the whole big picture after he was glorified and resurrected. At first, his disciples did not understand. They don't know what's going on with all these people waving branches and Lazarus coming out of the grave. They don't know what is happening here. But after he is glorified, they start recalling some of the scriptures. They start recalling some of the things he said. They start putting all the pieces, that 2020 hindsight, back together. This is what we're going to be doing this week. We're going to be walking through the conversations of Jesus with his disciples and the Gospel of John, and they are deep. Continuing. Now the crowd, so now we're talking about the crowd, that was with him when he called Lazarus from the tomb and raised him from the dead, continued to spread the word. If only they would continue to spread the word today. If only we could watch someone raised from the dead. You know, overseas, that stuff happens. People believe so much that they literally can bring people back from the dead. It says it in the gospel accounts that even the shadow of Peter would raise somebody or heal somebody. If only we would see that today. If only we saw a Lazarus coming out of the grave today. If only they would be so excited that they told everybody. If only. Continuing. Many people, because they had heard that he had performed this sign, went out to meet him. It was a sign. It was like big neon going off. When Lazarus came out of that grave, everybody took notice. Like I said, the Pharisees and the Sadducees, they're paying attention as well. If only. You ever ask for a sign? I only did it one time in my life. I was looking at coming to two different churches, and it was before I got here. And I had a church that I was pretty well set that I was going to go into, and then I had this opportunity for the church. It was called Friendship Church. And so, I didn't know what to do. Kind of like where I'm at right now with my daughter. I don't know what to do. So I said, you know, Lord, before I apply, before I go online, before I even put anything in, can you give me a sign? And even as I did it, I felt like, should I even ask for a sign? Maybe I should just know. But it doesn't work that way, does it? I mean, because I don't know about you, but sometimes I go like, yes, no, yes, put it in, put it in, yeah, nope, don't, yep, nope, yep, nope. I learned the hard way that I really need to ask a different prayer about, show me. So I asked for a sign, and I said, show me a sign. I got up the next day and in my neighborhood, and I can show you the picture. There was these signs. There's like 5 or 10 of them every mile. All around 5 miles around my house, all over the place. There must have been over 50 signs that said this friendship circle. And I've been looking there for 12 years and I never saw a sign. I never saw these things. I see them all the time now. They're everywhere. Maybe I was, you know, sometimes you don't notice things until you notice things, but maybe they were always there. I don't think so, because I woke up that morning and I saw them clear as day. It's like they had a big spotlight on every one of them. I mean, Friendship Circle, friend, and the name of the church that I was looking at was called the Friendship Church. I asked for a sign and they gave me 50. Believe me, signs do exist. There are signs. There are signs all the time. Not only are words powerful, but signs. And every miracle that Jesus does is a sign. That is the purpose of the miracle. It is a sign. It is showing us something. Continuing. So we'll get to the Pharisees now. So the Pharisees said to one another, I love this. So the Pharisees, they all get together. They're all talking. They see Lazarus coming from the ground up, man, and they see all these people and all these branches waving around saying Hosanna, and they're like, man, there's just too much commotion. We're going to get this thing stirred up too much. They're going to come up against us. We're going to lose all our power. Fear, 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 fear. We talked about it the other day in our life group, our doing life group. Our imagination is powerful. Our imagination can envision, I don't know about you, but I can come up with 99 different scenarios for every one of those prayers that we had today. 99 different ways that this could work out. And I can start, if it's personal, like my daughter, I can start working towards this. I can try to find the right doctor, the right surgeon, the right chiropractor, the right method, and start researching it. It's exhausting. So the Pharisees said to one another, see, this is getting us nowhere. Look at how the whole world has gone after him. If only the whole world, if only their prediction would come true. If only the whole world would come after him. What would that look like? Heaven. I think I saw Marie say heaven. It would be, wouldn't it? You know, in one line, Jesus cured the ills of the world in one line. Treat your neighbor as you'd have them treat you. In one line, he knocked out war. In one line, he knocked out murder. In one line, he knocked out stealing. In one line, he knocked out abuse. In one line, he knocked out rape. In one line, he knocked out criticism. In one line, he knocked it all out. If only the whole world, if only their fear would come true. And even the Sadducees and the Pharisees would finally embrace it because they would say, this is a better way. This will work. We can work with this. We don't have to be afraid that we're going to lose our power. If only you have the power in your words to make it only come true for someone else today. Maybe not the whole world. Maybe. Don Cannon will do a bit really more than I can ask or imagine. But for that one person, it will mean the world. Let us pray. Oh, Jesus. If only. And maybe, dear Father God, I just need to take that into a personal level right now. If only I completely surrendered to you. If only I would watch my tongue. If only I would ask the Holy Spirit to fill me. If only I would share you, Lord Jesus, with someone in need. If only, if only, if only. And then I can bring it to a corporate level. If only all of Michigan knew you, Lord Jesus. If only every church was filled. If only this nation was a nation under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all. I will quote all of it. If only North Korea became a Christian nation. If only Russia and Ukraine held hands and helped one another rebuild the land they are destroying. If only Palestine and Israel would celebrate Lord Jesus and resurrect the Jerusalem temple. If only every church, every home, every heart was filled with our Lord Jesus. This we ask through the body and blood of Jesus Christ our Lord. Amen.
My God, I am Lord.
It is time to bring our imagination to fruition. It is time for our imagination to come to life. Not our fears, not our trepidations, but our hope and our promise. It is time for us to share. So as we go through this Holy Week, I will send out a text message of exactly what verses to read, maybe ask a couple questions, maybe we'll bounce it around a bit. But we'll walk through this. If you're interested in Monday, Thursday, or Good Friday, let me know. And I'll give you the information for that, because those are going to be great celebrations, especially Good Friday. And keep that, if only, in mind. So I want you not only to walk through the Gospel of John, I want you to share the Gospel of John. Let me say that again. I want you to not only walk through the Gospel of John, I want you to share it with somebody. Every time you read a passage, I want you to go and find somebody that needs to hear that. Maybe one of your kids, Judy, needs to hear that passage that day. Maybe our neighbor needs to hear that passage that day. Maybe we need to just integrate it ourselves, that passage that day. As we get ready for Easter, you know, we started this year off about renewal. The great renewal. That's where we're headed next week. The great renewal. Jesus is giving us the great renewal. This is all a preview of where God is taking us. And we've been on this path all year about being renewed. And we've discovered that the renewal is not a plan, it's not a procedure, it's not even a goal. That renewal is in a person, and that person is Jesus. And so Easter is going to be the answer. Jesus is the answer. Easter is the answer to the question, to any question, of how we are renewed. So bring someone else here with you next Sunday as we join with the River, our sister church, and we celebrate renewal. We are dismissed to love and to serve our Lord Jesus. Have an amazing week. I will send a text message out to everyone here and everyone who hasn't been able to join us today. God bless.